Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where the skies are partly cloudy and it is a lovely, warm afternoon in the metropolis of the South, where we have more people than we can accommodate. But that's all right. We love it here, and certainly much better than we do in the metropolis of the North, which would be New York. Now, as I often do on this program, I want to open with a prayer that I've written. And this is specifically because there are so many people that are in distress that I thought that this one would be particularly appropriate. Father, when I came to you in my distress, I wanted you to make everything better, to nurse my bruises like my mother once did when I was a little boy and hurt myself, to tell me that I would be okay and my pain would vanish and soon be forgotten. But that's not what you did, nor what you intended. Instead, you made it crystal clear that I could not nurse my wounds in solitude, nor take pleasure in the bitter fruit of self-pity. Instead, you insisted that I suck it up. Excuse me, folks. Instead, you insisted that I suck it up and be an adult, stretching me far beyond my comfort zone, insisting that I be more open, more honest, and more vulnerable than I have ever been in my entire life. You guided me, leading me to do the next right thing, regardless of what the consequences might be, regardless of the outcome. Despite my fears and my desire to hide my circumstances, which I masked with a disingenuous smile, I obeyed, doing the next right thing one day at a time, knowing that following your will was my only option, even when being obedient looked like a weak and foolish thing to do. I sucked it up and did what I knew to be right, time after time, until doing so became natural and easy. Father, you know your plans for me, and I do not. I cannot see the future nor understand it, not even a little. But I know that by following my conscience, even when it would have been easier to walk away, something of value has been created in me, which has never been part of my character. Now I feel whole and enjoy the simplicity of doing nothing more than the next right thing. Amen. I see that I have Stacy on the line. Stacy, how are you today?
I am great, Jack, and what a beautiful prayer down into my heart.
Well, thank you so much. I think of our nation and of, you know, we have an election coming up in the next week, and of people doing things based on what will work rather than what's right. And I'm concerned that we have so many people in this nation who do not have even the first inkling about any kind of pole in the ground that says this is absolutely right, and another pole, at the opposite end, saying this is absolutely wrong. It seems like particularly the progressives, I mean, we, you know, who are worse than just people that are, that, you know, that have a liberal worldview. There is no right and wrong. It's only what will work. And for people of faith who adhere to God's word, there is a absolute right and an absolute wrong. And it for a while anyway, it puts us at a disadvantage with those who who don't have any sense of right and wrong. They, you know, they just do whatever they want, and then they call us names, and, you know, we get our feelings hurt, and you know, they get their way, and that happens so much that, you know, the very nature of our lives has changed, and not for the better. And there is a strong group of these people. I mean, there are millions of them now, and they demand, I mean, they're smart, according to them, and everybody else, you know, I mean, people who read the Bible and look to the Lord for leadership, they mock us. So they've stolen the sense of what wisdom is, and yet they aren't wise. I mean, little, you know, we have a gender neutral society now. I mean, you can be whatever you want to be. So if you wake up, you know, if I wake up tomorrow morning and, you know, I can say, well, you know, I'm going to be a woman. I see myself as a woman. Or as they're doing now, I see myself as a penguin.
Yeah.
You can do that, and it's so confusing to people. You know, kids now have such, and I'm thinking about this, all of this, because I just got back from Hawaii, where my daughter got married a week ago, which, just by the way, I am having the hardest time just kind of getting back on a regular schedule. I finally, because I slept until 9 o'clock, which I never do, yesterday, I said, well, I'm going to get up. And so I got up at 6 o'clock and, you know, just went. And finally, at 3 this afternoon, I just closed my eyes. Next day, I knew it was 5. So, I mean, I have been unable to get back on schedule. But that's not my point in all of this. My point is that at this wedding, the role of being a father was very clear, and that my daughter Katie, who for 28 years has had a strong dad in her life, it provided her with a sense of what a man should be and what shouldn't be, validated appropriately by a man, rather, you know, her father, rather than not having one and thinking that not having one is important, because it is important. And we've come to this place in our society where the role of men particularly has been so dehumanized in a certain sense that we go about and in commercials, they make fun of adult men. The women are always the smart ones in commercial, or, you know, are smart-ass kids. And it's always just, the, you know, a fuddy-duddy dad who doesn't really know what he's doing and is not a strong man. I mean, they, to the point where little kids lose their identity, and that, of course, is what produces so much of the sexual dysfunction in our society. And my God, we are, well, we should have, I mean, we've institutionalized perversion and not just made it legal, but made it morally right, which is an affront not just to God's scripture, but to Almighty God himself. And this radical progressive element in our society who, you know, booed God at the Democratic National Convention has taken the ascendant so dramatically. We have a president now, and there have been numerous pictures of him where he's riding a girl's bike with a helmet, trying to trying to throw a baseball like a girl, and that's very effeminate. And, you know, people look mocked and said, why would the White House put that out? Why would they allow that to happen to make him look so effeminate? And I finally have thought, well, that's not an accident at all. They're just trying to make metrosexuality virtuous rather than something to be mocked. So that's the new man. You know, that's the vision of what men should be. Now, if that stands, this nation, no matter what's not going to last very long. And you can see he's not a strong leader. He's not a strong man. He has no conviction. He has no right and wrong. He has no integrity. He has no truthfulness. I don't know why they bother to have press conferences with him. They ask him questions, he just lies. He lies the truth rather than the truth serving better. Go ahead. I just really kind of have a rather long soliloquy here. Go ahead.
Oh, I agree, and he has no character, and people bought his claims of transparency, and I am amazed at how deluded some Americans still are. It's quite obvious to me that our country is in trouble. We're on a collision course, and unless there's intervention, we're doomed.
Well, and when that happens, people turn to vice, even Christians. They get,
yeah,
you know, they and their families fall apart, and their lives fall apart, and they live in fear, and they are distressed all over the place. And there aren't many good things that come from that. Well, actually, there are no good things that come from that. And being strong and standing by your convictions makes people refer to you on Facebook as a hater. If you told, I mean, I've been called a hater more times than I can shake a stick at, and not for being hateful, but for saying, no, this is wrong. The person doing it is wrong. They're doing it for, you know, for reasons that are wrong, and the results are going to be destructive. you're just a hater. You just hate, you know, President Obama because he's black. Well, you know, that's just not true. I guess probably, I mean, my number one pick for the next one is frankly, is Ben Carson. So, you know, he's all black. Obama's just half black. So maybe I'm a, you know, a, not a racist, but a mulatto. You know, because I hate mulattoes or something. I don't know if there's such a word, but we got troubles right here in River City. And yeah, at the same time, you know, when people get caught in their self-destructiveness and they realize they're going the wrong direction, where people tell them that they are when they go for counseling and say, you know, what's wrong with me? I said, well, you know, you're, to begin with, you know, you're drinking too much, or, you know, you're a pothead, or, you know, you're, well, I want to put my life together. So, what do you know, before you do that, you've got to stop taking meth and all of these kinds of things, you know, and when they want to set them straight, you know, there's a lot of work involved in that. And, you know, those are the things that we do, is help people, particularly Christian people, or people who aren't Christian, who are willing to accept the idea that there are absolutes, and that, you know, if you connect with what is absolute truth, which is connecting with God.
Yeah.
That your life can be transformed. Without it, you're in the world, lost, without hope, and destined to live out your days in ignominy, if we even can continue. People are in distress about this Ebola thing. And we have we have fools leading us. Great Britain, France, and Australia have cut off all travel from West Africa, keep it at its source. And we're letting people come in, and now they're saying, well, we aren't even going to, you know, insist that you be quarantined because that's a violation of your civil liberties. It's almost as if our government wants an Ebola epidemic in America for nefarious reasons, and that may be true.
Yeah.
We may have that. So, and Christian people are being, black Christian people in Georgia are being, you know, they're bringing absentee ballots to the to their churches on Sunday and busing them to polling places, you know, to try and get Michelle Nunn elected to help sustain the programs of Barack Obama. And these are Christian people who are completely deceived. You go to black churches in America and listen to the gospel that they preach, boy, it's as good as anything you ever want to hear. Well, I mean, not every place, certainly not like with Reverend Jeremiah Wright, but most of these black churches, these pastors are just spot on when it comes to, you know, the scriptures and stuff. But, you know, that doesn't translate. I mean, you know, they're buying into this agenda of the radical left, and it's an amazing phenomenon. I mean, I don't understand it. I don't get it. But this is where we are, and people are in trouble. And, you know, we talk about this all the time. I mean, I have a hard time thinking that we aren't going to have even more Christian people who are just beside themselves. But you know what? We'll see about that. What do you think?
I agree with you 100%. I'm concerned about the integrity of this election coming up. To be quite honest, I was concerned about the integrity of the last election. I've read countless articles about votes that were cast and the people were actually dead. And sometimes they voted 3 and 4 times. It's just lawlessness run rampant.
Well, the thing is that there, you know, if the progressives will do anything to win, but a conservative do it the right way. So it's like, it's okay for one side to cheat and the other, but not for the other. And the thing is that it isn't okay for conservatives to cheat, but it certainly isn't okay for anybody else to either, you know, and if we can't have leaders who abide by the will of the people, that's our fundamental truth as a nation. If people have a conflict who are believers, they can refer to scripture, settle their differences, because that's where truth is found.
And Jack,
but
that's
if you
what
have
our
no
country
truth,
was based on.
If you have no truth, then what do?
Yeah. What do you do?
Yeah. Tell people where they can find things of ours and, you know, and some of the things that we have, because that's an important thing for them to know.
Oh, yes. And Jack, we have the best, we have the absolute best materials available. I had a customer call today and tell me what an awesome experience teaching the search for significance in his church is. And now, people especially now need to know who they are in the Lord. And that's what the search for significance teaches you. It's Dr. McGee's all-time best-selling book. And we also have numerous programs for addictions of all kinds and other resources. And people can go to our website.
And for people who, I mean, for every addict that you've got, you have 3 or 4 people that are codependent that, you know, to help that person be the way they are. And they
exactly.
got to, you know, which they end up being as sick as the addict, almost.
Yeah. And there are absentee fathers in so many homes today. We have a book called Father Hunger, and just awesome material. And they are... People can go to our website, which is www.mcgeeandme.net. And that's MCGEEANDME. Or they can call me at 800-460-4673, and I'll be glad to help.
Now, the person that calls you about teaching the search for significance in his church, that was Dr. Patterson, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I figured that when you said that, that's who it was. Now, Dr. Patterson's a personal friend of mine, and you know, when Dr. McGee was literally so blind that he couldn't tell his right shoe from his left shoe, but still driving and endangering the public, you know, Dr. Patterson gave him cataract surgery in both eyes so that Robert can see again now. And, you know, and we drove up into the hills of Tennessee to, you know, to get that done. And it was, you know, it was, you know, kind of a 2-week ordeal, but it was also a lot of fun. And, you know, this is Dr. Patterson, the ophthalmologist, was a believer, but there was things about who God is and how he relates to us that Dr. Patterson didn't know. So he started doing this, and he's called me. I mean, we talk 3 or 4 times a week about, you know, the transformation in himself as well as the people in his church. And these are people that are from the Church of Christ. Now, you know, the Search for Significance has, had an enormous following among Baptists and Campus Crusade type people. But when it gets into the Church of Christ, it's a Christian tradition, but an entirely different one. And, you know, this is what, you know, the need there is, this is kind of like rain that's needed when, you know, plants are they going to live or not? So this is a really good thing for them.
Well, Jack, it's one thing to know scripture, but it's another thing to move into the personal relationship with Jesus. And that's what the Search for Significance does, personal, and it does usher one in to that knowledge and that relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tell everybody, we were talking about the values of the in America, and on the website, I think that we still have, we believe 30 days understanding our heritage, where we're giving it to people as a free download if they want it. But 10 minutes a day for 30 days, people can understand who they are. Now, this isn't as significant a book as Search for Significance, but it's full of some pretty good and heady stuff. So at any rate, those are the things that we've got and what we're doing. And, you know, we've got the future of our nation is hanging by a thread. And what made this nation great is now being ridiculed. What made this nation great were people of faith worshiping God as they saw fit, taking whatever they had and creating businesses that made us the wealthiest nation in the history of the world from 1870 until last month, when the Chinese superseded us because we have taken a nosedive under the leadership of Barack Hussein Obama, who has regulated business to death. And, you know, we've got to do some things to change all that. And if we don't, we're tough. And, these are important things. And, you know, I find it amazing that the people who scoff our heritage and the great wealth that has been accumulated since our founding enjoy the benefits of it every day. I mean, you'd think if they were so noble that they would just, live hand to mouth like the people that they seem to venerate, in Asia and Africa, but they don't. At any rate, we've run out of time, and, I've kind of rambled a little bit here today, but these are the things that I've feel very deeply about, and know that without changing, we are going to be in trouble as a people, not just as individuals, but corporately as well. So let me just say thank you, Stacy, and we'll talk next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, and God bless you and of America. Good night.
Good night.